Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
Nice.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
The girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex relationships and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can listen to all of our podcasts or sign up for our mailing list and check out all of the awesome shows we've been doing. Thanks, everyone, for becoming Friends with Benefits members. You know, if you're a Friends with Benefits member, you get all our shows. We do 4 shows a week. You get special benefits, discounts, all this stuff. So thanks, everyone, for doing that. Today, Menace is out. He's doing some kind of concert thing, but I've got my lovely intern, Lauren, sitting in. Hi, Lauren.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Awesome. Good to have you here. Today's show, we'll be talking about the infamous Friends with Benefits relationships, not our membership program, but what does it mean? We get tons of emails about this. Do Friends with Benefits work? How does it work? Am I ripe for a Friends with Benefits situation? So we're going to get into that. We're also going to be reading your emails. And we'll also be doing a little bit of sex in the news. We got a lot of stuff going on today. So Lauren and I, though, were having a really interesting talk on the way over. And I think this is a talk that I need to share with everyone because I think it's pertinent. I think you can help us and we'd love to get your advice. So recently I went on a date with a guy and we had a nice – I can't remember if I shared this or not, but we had a nice date. We had a little picnic in Tiburon, which is a nice little town outside of the city right on the water. He made food. He made his own brand of hot cocoa. He's a pilot. He's a rock climber, which I used to really be into rock climbing. And we had a nice time. We had a nice chat. It was like a 2-hour thing. He threw me up in the air. He was doing like acrobatic yoga. And it was fun.
In the park?
In the park.
He was throwing
me on the water. Yeah. He was like throwing me around. And it was fun. It was a fun date. Did I feel a love connection? Did I want to kiss him? No. I did not feel like this was my next guy, but I liked him. I liked him enough to think, oh, that'd be fun to do more acrobatic yoga or to go rock climbing sometime. So he said to me, let's do this again sometime. I'm like, great. End of the date. So you'd ask me, you think about it, and I think I was talking to Menace about it, and he's like, well, you should have said no. You should have said no. What is the right thing to do in this situation? I don't want to be romantic with the guy, but I also think it's premature after a 2-hour date when we had a perfectly nice time for me to get into the whole conversation. You know, I really don't want to do this again. Because then it makes him feel like he's a bad person. He did something wrong. And I just feel like, yeah, we'll see what happens. So if I was thinking if he called me again and he said, I really like you. I think this was great. Let's have dinner or I'd like to take you out. That I would then say, you know what? I'm not feeling it romantically, but we should be friends. So anyway, he did call me again. But what he said to me was, can you go rock climbing sometime?
So that's not dinner.
That's not dinner, and that's not saying I'm into you. It changed things. So okay. I was in the middle of the street walking with Kelsey, my assistant, and I was like, we were walking in the middle of a bunch of stuff, and I was like, sorry, I can't. I'm really busy the next few weeks, which I am. The holidays are coming up. It's crazy. And I was like, but, you know, let's stay in touch. So did I do the wrong thing? What do guys out there and what do women do? Would you rather have me said at that moment, you know what? I'm not feeling this. No, you're out of my life forever. I just feel like I made a nice connection. He could be a new friend, a new guy. And I didn't want to say to him in this whole moment, because I've had that in the past where I've said to guys, you know, I don't feel this. I'm not feeling this connection. And they're like, what are you talking about? I didn't feel it either. I'm just asking you for a date. So like, I didn't know. How, you know, what do you think?
Guys get defensive. I think everyone gets defensive when that happens.
Yeah, he feels rejected. But... like, do I really need to reject him, or is it better to do the slow fade? Now, Lauren can tell her story.
Okay, well...
because there's the fade. That's a popular thing to do. Yeah. You tell the guy yes, and then you never call him back.
Yeah, I went through the, you know, slow fade one.
Okay.
So I had a great time. He's an awesome guy, you know, fun, everything like that. I just didn't feel it, you know? Like, I was just like, oh, he's nice, but... I'm not trying to make this happen.
Right.
I don't want to make this happen. So, you know, what do I do? Oh, just kind of left him hanging, I guess you can say. Like, oh, yeah, I'll, you know, see you around. See you later.
And then what happened?
He called me, and I was kind of surprised because I felt like I was almost rude to him, which I wasn't trying to be. But he called me. I didn't answer.
This was your second date?
Yeah.
Okay.
He called me. I didn't answer. He texted me later. I didn't answer. 2 days later, he calls me and texts me again.
Oy.
I have yet to answer. So, and then he added me on Facebook and I blocked him.
Okay.
But
you blocked him.
Yeah, but
that's aggressive.
Yeah, but he's,
you didn't just decline. You blocked him from ever finding any speck of Lauren on Facebook. Okay.
Well, I did have this little kind of weird thing that happened like midway through that week. Someone at like 1 a.m. started ringing our apartment number for a couple of minutes, and it was like, okay, everyone's home. What is this? Like,
do you think he came over?
I don't know, because like, he did drop me off one night.
Okay, scary.
So even, I mean, it's probably not him, but it kind of like made me a little worried. I have had the crazy stalker ex-boyfriend before.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll scare us off for life.
Yeah.
So what happened? But you did go out with him again.
I went out with him. Just the two times.
Okay, the two times. So it was the first day it was fine, and the second day you were like, I'm not into him. Like, all of a sudden you felt, I don't want to kiss him.
Yeah, like, we have a great chemistry. Oh, I did kiss
you
him.
You kissed him on the first date. Or on the second date.
On the second, I know.
So you kissed him on the second date. That's
why
he kept calling.
Us.
I know. This is why guys hate us. Seriously. So what approach do you prefer? If you're a guy, would you rather have me say right there on the second date when I had a perfectly nice time, would you rather have me say, you know what? I don't feel love connection. I don't feel romantic, but I'd love to go rock climbing sometime. Or would you rather just, does not calling you back or not texting or not being available, does that send the same message? I mean, I think the right thing to do is to be honest and to be forthright. But I feel like some guys, in my experience, have been like, I wasn't thinking that, or they don't want to know. I don't know. I'm just curious because this has come up in our, you know, we have very deep office discussions and these come up.
I used to be the honest one who would just be like, you know what? I'm just not feeling it right now, but can we just like kick it sometimes? And I've had guys get really angry at me before, like, oh, like all defensive.
But that's
like,
their own issue. So maybe we should stop protecting men and we should just be really honest. All like ruthlessly honest. Ruthlessly.
Yeah. I feel like I was like with this guy the second day, I was pretty like sort of straightforward. I was like, you know what? I had a great time, but, you know, I just want to, like, go out with my friends. I'll see you later. I guess I'll just talk to you later. I said it like that. So not like, oh, we had an amazing time.
That's
I can't
a great,
wait to
right.
see you.
And now he's
I
just.
I thought he got the hint, but.
And now you didn't accept his Facebook friend and request, and you haven't talked to him. So anyway, that's just something that came up. We wanted to know what you think about that, because it happens a lot, you know, right? Yeah. You get asked out, you're not sure, and guys do the same thing, but I think a lot of people just opt for the slow fade. This would be a good poll question. Okay, speaking of polls, we've got a new we don't have the results here. Is that still our poll up, the affair poll? Okay.
Yeah.
Why did or would you have an affair? This is our poll on our website. Please go vote. A, they don't turn you on anymore. B, you don't love them anymore. C, revenge. D, an opportunity presents itself and you thought you wouldn't get caught. And then other, you can let us know why. feedback@sexwithemily.com. We love when you vote. And also, I've got to give a shout out. I know it's holidays. You're doing some holiday shopping right now. And I really have to really, really, really make a plea that if you are thinking of buying your sweetheart a sexy something, that you go to adamandeve.com, because they've got this new – they've got a new thing going on. And they're giving away the Kim Kardashian sex tape, her sex DVD, with any purchase. Use offer code HEYNOW at checkout. And you get this 50% off one item plus the free Kim Kardashian sex DVD. Now, I think I want to order something just to see. I've never seen it.
Neither have I. And that's kind of a big deal. Let's just send out a celebrity sex tape with everything you get.
I know. I love it. I think it's awesome. And there's some great – they have games. I love sex games for couples. I think that's such a fun thing to do. Like, you play a game and the games ask you provocative questions that maybe you want to find out about your lover, but your lover doesn't ever tell you, like, what's your number one fantasy or whatever. There's fun games. I love the vibrating rings. Those are great for the penis. It helps men with premature ejaculation. They have clitoral stimulation. Vibrators, great gifts. Also, I'm going to mention Jimmy Jane. They're another one of our sponsors. We love them. Their toys are beautiful. I mean, this is all you need to get your person. If you get them one of the Jimmy Jane toys, they're amazing. You go to jimmyjane.com. You enter Emily25 at checkout, and you get $25 off purchases of over $100. And they just make – we love their stuff. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I actually have one of my Jimmy Jane toys on my our nightstand. And one of my friends came by and was like, oh, that's a cool sculpture. Did you get that at one of those SF galleries? And
oh, I
was like,
yeah. It looks like that.
Yeah, not exactly.
And you love your form too, right?
I love my form too.
Love it. So it's a form two vibrator. It's amazing. And they – seriously, you can leave them out. They win awards, this company, for design and for their vibrators. So if you've never checked them out, please check out Jimmy Jane. Enter Emily25 at checkout for your discounts.
I feel like they're the Apple of
Apple of sex toys. You're
like,
so right.
Everything's like really sleek and nice looking. And then,
yeah, like you'd feel like proud to give your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever one of these toys because they have vibrating rings. They're all different price ranges. There's some are a little more expensive, some are a little less. You could do – they have their iconic collection, which they have like
– Kate Moss likes those, I hear.
Kate Moss. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my God. Kate Moss likes them. So why wouldn't you like them? I think that everyone should go there and just support our advertisers. We totally appreciate it. Okay, so what else? We could do a little sex in the news. Okay. If your man stinks, he might have an STD.
Oh.
This is not good. Russian scientists just discovered our nose knows who's not to sleep with. In their crazy study, they collected sweat from 34 guys, some who were healthy, some who had gonorrhea, and some who had the infection but were treated for it successfully. When they asked a bunch of sexy Russian co-eds to sniff their sweat, they found that the samples they smelled the most putrid were the ones with the STD. And now guys are going to go buy even more Axe body spray because if they smell, they're not going to get laid because everyone thinks. But it's a very small study, 34 guys.
I hate Axe. Like, not Axe. Like, I love their hair gel. So for some reason,
right,
it works
their,
on guys.
Their body spray.
No.
Men love the Axe body spray.
No, don't get some nice
you don't
cologne.
Love it.
Like, get a
yeah, and if you
watch.
Have an STD, STD, just go get some drugs. Don't spray yourself with Axe.
Yeah. And I feel like if they did have an STD and they were smelling worse, it might have to do with them just not caring so much about their personal hygiene.
It might say a lot if you've got yourself an STD.
I feel like that doesn't really correlate.
Yeah, correlate. Yeah, you're right. Okay, that's a good one. So if your man stinks, could be something. It might not just be that he has BO. Okay, there's a brand new international sex college has several troubling aspects. A Swedish artist and former erotic TV hostess is opening the Austrian International School of Sex, where people can learn how to do it right way. Sexual positions, caressing techniques, anatomical features. And for only $1,860, less than a night at an elite escort, with an elite escort in New York City, you can study both the theory and practice of sex. They can take intensive courses and seminars. At the end of each class, they take an exam, and if they don't pass, they can flunk out of sex college. I think you actually have sex in this college. It sounds like it. It sounds like you actually have sex and you learn, because you could say they're comparing it to getting a stripper or to getting an escort.
So instead of like painting the nude model in art class, you're doing the nude model.
You're actually doing, you're doing the new model. Exactly.
Sounds it's awesome.
Sexual positions, caressing techniques. So yeah, if you want to do that, go to Austria. Sex school. I'm in sex school, but we don't have sex. Durex new Viagra in a condom. We've talked about this before. There's a new condom that contains a dose of Xanafel gel in the tip. It boosts blood flow in the penis and hopefully your bedroom spirits, and it uses a patented delivery system that allows the medicine to rapidly permeate the skin. They're also working on a topical spray that helps delay ejaculation. Man, you know, you think that Viagra gets so much play. Like, they're going to have Viagra in everything these days.
In
your underwear.
The college generation. I'm in college. And I know so many, like, confident, like, guys, like, you know, the macho men who use Viagra recreationally, just for fun.
Why? Need it at 20 something.
I know, but I feel like it's becoming a trend.
It is. It kind of is, because it's so easy to get.
Yeah.
And I think people are curious.
And, you know, it's It makes it older men. Though.
Yeah, it does. It does. I admit that I've taken it recreationally too.
You have?
Yeah.
Does it do anything for women?
Kind of. I mean, there is no Viagra for women because the brain is the largest sex organ and they haven't figured out. Like, for men, like, you get an erection, you don't get an erection. And it has to do with your brain, too. But for women, they've spent millions of dollars and years trying to invent a female Viagra. And there isn't one because the brain is involved. It's not just like, let's get her wet.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work. But it does make the blood rush to your clitoris more. So it does give you a little bit more. But I would not recommend it at all. I don't even know if it was psychosomatic. I might have just been like imagining that it did something.
One of those placebo.
Yeah, it was like a placebo effect. I think it was. And it was a long time ago. Don't do it. Don't use it recreationally. Don't do it. Just wait till you're like a 50-year-old man and then you'll really might need it. But seriously, like, don't use it recreationally, kids. Okay, let's get into some emails. Ready? Here we go. I thought it was interesting that all of your answers to the question deal with you in the most recent poll. Why did you have an affair? You don't get turned on by that anymore. You don't love that anymore. You don't want revenge. You saw an opportunity. In my case, I wonder if an affair would have helped save my marriage. We did not have sex for the last 10 years of my marriage, with the exception of one evening when she realized it was almost over and gave me a blowjob. It's like a sacrificial blowjob.
Oh, God.
An affair might have given me some confidence that I could still be sexually attractive to someone and help me become more attractive to my wife. So to answer the question, why would I have an affair? I consider an affair to have sexual intimacy that was not present in my marriage or relationship. So thanks for adding to it our poll.
That's a
good point. It's a whole new angle. I mean, you know, I got to say that some people do have affairs and it does save their marriage. I'm not saying you should. There is no rules. Most of the time it destroys your marriage or it's hard to build the trust back. But I have heard stories that people have affairs and they realize how much they love each other. It's just like anything in life. Like, it's not formulaic. But
I love that he sent this. I love hearing that, though. It's like interesting.
Thank you for sharing that. We didn't get his name, but I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm sorry that your marriage ended. And it is true. But what I would recommend before you have an affair, if you are listening to this and you're in a relationship that's struggling now, your sex life isn't good, you're not having as much sex anymore, you're not attracted to your spouse anymore, I'm going to ask you to do the hard thing. The easy thing is to have an affair. The hard thing is to talk to your partner about it and to be like, okay, what's the deal? We haven't had sex in 10 years, 10 months, 10 weeks, whatever it is. And talk about it and see what you can do to spice up the relationship. Maybe you buy him a sexy toy, some lingerie. I mean, that's the superficial stuff. But maybe you're like, what turns you on? What would make you feel like sexy? A lot of things that bring down people's sex drive is like self-esteem. Like if you're with, you know, your wife just had a baby, she's not feeling great about her body, or if he's stressed with work. Whatever it is, there could be issues going on. And couples, it's like the elephant in the room that they don't talk about. They're like, we're having sex, and we're not going to talk about it. So, I mean, this guy was married for 10 years. They didn't have sex. Is that what he said?
Yeah, 10 years.
10 years, no sex. What the hell did they talk about?
People need to talk about this.
There is nothing else to talk about. If you have not had sex for 10 years and you are married, there is not one other conversation to have. I don't care what you have for dinner. I don't care if you take it out the trash. You need to talk about your sex life. You need to, and it's hard. It's like ripping the Band-Aid off. You're like, ugh, just do it. Just bring something up. Put on Sex with Emily. I'll make you talk about it. Buy one of these sexy games from Adam and Eve. Do something that provokes the conversation, because you can't be suffering for 10 years.
And think about what it'll be like after you have the conversation. Like,
so much better. Maybe you find out that she's not attracted to you because something. Maybe she's on antidepressants and you don't know it and that's keeping her sex drive down. Maybe he's super stressed with work and he's losing all his money. Who knows? But talk about it. Okay? Next one's about Facebook.
Oh.
Which Menace likes to say has ended. Some study came out that one in three marriages end because of Facebook. I don't know if that's true, but hey, Emily, a girl I knew from my childhood recently sought me out on Facebook. I messaged her and asked if she wanted to hang out sometime. She said, sure, but after the holidays. What does this mean? And did she put it off hoping I'd forget? Thanks, Eddie from Phoenix, Arizona. That is a great question, Eddie. We were just talking about that at the top of the show. It's unclear at this point if she's blowing you off by saying, let's wait for after the holidays, because a guy that I'm not interested in, I just told him, let's wait till after the holidays, and I'm actually not interested in him. However, she might be really busy. I don't know if she's single or not. Sounds like she is if you asked her out. I think it's inconclusive. We don't know what this means yet. If you follow up with her after the holidays and she says, sure, then we don't have a problem here. If she blows you off after the holidays, she didn't really mean it.
I don't know. I feel like she's blowing him off.
You do? But people are busy around the holidays.
Some people are busy, but I feel like if she really was interested and really down, she'd be like, oh, I'm doing this right, like for the holidays. This is why I can't not. Oh, being very vague about
it. That's true. That's true. If you really want to see someone. I've said it before, too. And the truth is, she might not be sure, Eddie. She might not feel that. She might want to hang out with you, but it might not be sexual. It might not be romantic, but she might be like, wow, it would be great to see Eddie again, but I'm going to have to wait till I trim my Christmas tree or something. Like, we don't know yet.
And, you know, what was your relationship like before?
Exactly.
Maybe you, like, saw each other passing in the hallways and that was it? Right. That would probably be the second. The first thing, you guys were friends, you know, all through whatever it was, high school.
Right. Did you have a crush on her? Did you make out in 10th grade? Like, we need to know more, but let us know if she follows up. I think it's okay for you to follow up after the holidays, for sure. But don't do it again if you don't hear from her. That means she's blowing you off.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we've solved that one. Okay, this is about Kegel Camp, which is my iPhone app in the iTunes store. It's rocking right now. It's like number 20-something in health. It's an amazing app. I have to say, it's Kegel exercises are for men and women. And I have to be honest, I made this app, and I didn't know that anyone was going to download it or like it or whatever. I thought it was a great app. I thought everyone needs to do their Kegel exercises. It helps women have longer, stronger orgasms. It helps men with premature ejaculation. It helps men last longer. But who's going to download the app and do it? I don't know. Well, it is so popular, and it's crazy, and I just want you all to download it now if you have an iPhone or an iPad. Okay, here's a question on my iPhone app. I have so much bladder... Hi, so I have a bladder condition and I've been working on my PC muscles, and this app has helped me so much. I've had very weak muscles when diagnosed, and the doctor said these will help strengthen them. I've been using the app daily. When should I expect a noticeable difference? Thanks, AD. I'd say it takes about a month to 5 weeks to notice it, but it sounds like you're already noticing a difference. It does help women with bladder issues and men with bladder issues, so it helps just tighten those muscles. It's like any other exercise. And if you do them for 5 weeks, but then you stop, you're going to have the same issues again. So Kegels are here for life. But the great thing about the app is that I walk you through how to do them, and you can set a reminder on your phone to do them 3 times a day, and you can do them anywhere.
Like
Lauren
that.
Can do them right now if she wanted to.
I
could do
them right now.
She's doing them now. Oh, sorry. I could tell. No. You can't tell. You can't tell that people are doing them and they can help your sex life.
I love that it's not even about like her sex life. She's doing it for health reasons too.
Yeah, it does help people with health reasons. Especially after childbirth, women have looser bladders. They have a problem with urinary incontinence. They, you know, you sneeze and you pee in your pants kind of thing, which actually happens when you get older. So they help with that too. And here's another Kegel Camp email. Dear Emily, great app. It felt a little weird to start with, almost wrong, but you were right in what you say. It's so worth it. I don't want to be graphic, so let's just say of all the things you say it would help with a man, it does. I just always assumed it was an exercise for women, but clearly it's not. Thanks, Ryan.
Awesome.
So what's Ryan saying is that it helped him with premature ejaculation, or it helped him stay harder longer. These exercises work, so everyone's got to do them. Okay, we can move into the topic now. I think that would be the best thing to do, our friends with benefits topic.
Oh, geez.
Lauren, have you had a friends with benefits relationship?
I have had many.
Many?
Not as in like, oh, yeah, many. But like out of all my relationships, they've probably been like 90% friends
with benefits. And how does it work for you?
It works. I just wish there'd be more benefits in the whole friends with benefits, maybe like dental or something.
Right, exactly.
No, but it actually, one of the best, like some of the best sex I ever had was with a friends with benefits kind of relationship. And you know what? To this day, we are really close.
Right. It can last. If you guys are honest with each other, some people say that it never really works. They don't last forever. I mean, because eventually someone moves on. But what you have to do is make sure you're both on the same page. So if you're saying that you are down with a friends with benefits relationship, you have to make sure that you're okay, that this person's going to be sleeping with other people. They don't want to commit. They don't want to bring you home for the holidays.
And one day they might commit to somebody else.
Exactly. So you have to make sure that you're both happy being single. And you have to be happy with the freedom and independence that your life is bringing you now. And you'll have a better chance of having a successful friends with benefits relationship.
That is so true. If you are not loving yourself, you can't have a
exactly.
friends with benefits. Because then you'll get attached and you'll be like, oh, they like, you know, they... You'll depend on them for, like, confidence or...
Exactly. And you use that... Like, the truth is the downside of friends with benefits, and this is the thing that doesn't work the most, is that one person wants more than the next person. One person says they're fine with it, and the other person's like, yeah, I'm fine with it too. And then there's always someone in the equation who's like, I think I want more, or why is he sleeping with her? So you just have to make sure that you're confident that you can't have any expectations except for sex. And even that, you can't expect when it's going to happen. You don't know when it's going to happen again. So you got to set the rules. It's really important to talk to this person and have rules because you still want the friends part to be there when the benefits are gone. Let the person know you're attracted to them, enjoy spending time with them, but that you're not looking for anything serious. Hopefully you're both on the same page about that, but eventually someone gets emotionally attached. What's happened in your relationships, Lauren? How do they end?
One, he got attached and he wanted more and I didn't. And then another, same thing happened, but it was me who wanted more. And then another was we thought we were being honest with each other and he wasn't being honest. And then he decided, oh, all of a sudden he wants more, but.
And so you were never on the same page.
That's the one that lasted a while, and we ended up blowing up, but then we kind of resolved it. And to this, after the whole benefits part, the friends part is probably one of the best things because we know a lot about each other.
Right, because you become, it's like someone you dated and you became really close and it sounds like you guys communicated well.
Yeah, the afterword to the friends with benefits part can be really great.
Right, I agree. I've had some really good friends with benefits relationships and some of them are still my best friends. Same thing, we were always on the same page. I'm trying to think if I had any that were not. I seriously think that most of my friends with benefits relationships were very equal and I just happened to be lucky. I'm trying to think. I mean, there must have been some where they wanted more, I think there was somewhere they wanted to have sex more. They wanted more benefits.
Yeah.
They're like, I like the friends with benefits, but can I have like a super double benefit. Super benefits? And I'm like, this does not come with a supersize. You can't supersize this friends with benefits. But so you also wonder like, okay, so here's one thing. If you think you can manage a friends with benefits relationship, here's some suggestions. Don't become friends with benefits with an actual friend who you like. A friend's friend is a better idea so you don't lose both a friend and a potential partner. So what do you think about that?
That's so true.
Although a lot of times you become friends with a guy or a woman, whatever, because there's an attraction.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's weird if you're friends for years and then all of a sudden you start sleeping together, though I've done that as well. And that's awesome.
Yeah, that would make things weird.
Right.
But yeah, there has to be an attraction or otherwise you probably wouldn't be having sex with them.
Exactly. Okay. Know yourself and know what you're getting yourself into. So this is what we were saying earlier. This is true for every relationship. If you don't know yourself and what you're looking for in a relationship, you might as well not be dating because you're going to keep attracting the stuff that you don't want or the stuff that you think that you lack in yourself. You're going to be attracted to that other person who has it. So until you really, like, love yourself, work on yourself, know who you are, know what you want, like, it's going to be hard to attach with anybody right now. Also, if you decide if you're the type of person who can have sex consistently with someone without an emotional attachment. Because really what we're talking about here is you can get emotionally attached. Like, you love the person, you're going to send them a birthday card, you're going to care if, you know, their mother gets sick. But you can't be reliant. I think emotionally attached means like emotionally reliant. Like you get fired from your job and this is the first person you want to call. Like they can't be your go-to for all your emotions.
Yeah.
Like you sometimes we substitute because we're like, I'm not sleeping. You sort in your brain. You're like, I'm not sleeping with anyone else now. I might as well call the person I'm sleeping with. But your friends with benefits partner likely did not sign up to be the one who's listening to you with your emotions.
That's true. And I also think that if they do like go out and like, oh, hey, let's do this. You shouldn't always assume that there's going to be sex on the end of it. Maybe he wants to go out, but like pick up another girl and you have to be okay with that.
You have to be okay. And, you know, jealousy comes up in every relationship. Even if you're in a committed relationship, you get jealous, but you have to learn to deal with jealousy. You have to learn that it's an emotion that comes up and that in friends with benefit situations, if you're not great with jealousy, this might not be the situation you want to get into because you are going to always be wondering who else is he seeing and who else is she seeing. So you have to be good with that. So you also have to have no emotional attachment and you have to be without the hope that they will actually like you and want to have your babies, even if that hope is just to validate that you're good-looking, smart, wonderful, and the most fun. So to be in this relationship thinking that the person is going to change their mind all of a sudden and they're going to be like, oh, you're the one, you might as well, you know, just get out of the relationship or be dating them because a lot of times you can't try to change someone. No one's going to change. In a relationship or in a friends with benefits relationship.
And if you're going into the relationship with that in mind, you're already screwed.
Right.
You can't do that.
Exactly.
It's not going to be successful.
Exactly. Okay, open relationships. They're a little different than friends with benefits relationships. They work differently because you're with someone, but you can also sleep with other people. It can be good because it lets you fulfill your desire to sleep with multiple people, but also creates problems because you and your partner will probably experience jealousy. So you have to set rules in this too. We've talked a lot about open relationships on the show, but friends with benefits are really more like you don't have a primary partner and you're not really committed. So I would just say communication is a lubrication. If you are thinking of having a friends with benefits relationship right now, you just have to, you have to talk about it. You have to stick to the rules. And if you have to check in with yourself, if you're getting emotionally attached to the person, you either tell them, you say, you know what, I'm thinking of switching the terms. Would you be interested in committing to me? But don't keep pretending and blocking your feelings. Just don't keep going along with it because you like the person so much. You're like, well, he'll see me every second Saturday. No, you like this person. It's going to hurt you eventually. It's going to come out in a bad way and it's going to end. So you should be able to keep in check when your friend's benefit situation starts going awry and end it there, or just talk to the person and be honest.
Yeah.
That's what I got to say.
I wish I had a friends with benefits relationship consistently
right now.
Yeah, I'm too busy with like work, school, my internship, but like, and I don't want to date it, like all that extra time. I just want for myself.
I know.
But then I want to have sex.
I know. It's the perfect time for you to have a friends with benefits relationship.
Right. Well, I have them, but they're just, they're in the other city, you know?
Oh, they're in another city. I've had them in other cities too, but that's not bad. But you don't see them all the time. You need a local hometown boy.
Yeah.
You need a hometown friends benefits member. I had one friends benefits member, friends benefits person.
Member, it's an exclusive club. Yeah.
It's an exclusive club. I'm trying to think like if I have any bad friends with benefits relationships. Like my ex boyfriend and I, a lot of times it happens with exes too, though. I broke up with him. We still were great friends, and then we slept together for a few years afterwards, but like I would know all about his relationships and he'd know about mine, and for whatever crazy reason it worked, because we knew we weren't a good couple, but we still liked having sex with each other. So that's like another scenario, no? Like we're a great couple, we're looking for other people, but we still want to have sex. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you are both on the same page, more power to you.
I had that same thing happen. Like, we knew we would be horrible, like, in a relationship together, but the sexual chemistry was amazing. So it's like, we both didn't want to give that up. And we talked about that, too. Like, you know, he brought it up.
Right.
And I was like, well, you know, it wouldn't really work out. And he's like, I know. But he's like, this is good, though. I'm happy. Like,
so how did that one end?
That one was the good one that blew up in the end.
But now you're still good friends.
It blew up because of lack of communication.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. You weren't communicating about it.
Yeah, he thought I was starting to like him. I thought he was starting to like me because some things were going on. And like, then we weren't talking as like we were. And see, when you don't communicate, when you think you
right,
should,
everyone makes assumptions.
It ruined everything. We blew up, but then we eventually like worked it out.
So
no more sex, but like we're still super close, and we talk about our relationships. And
that's great. See, it's not like this weird thing that can't work. I mean, it can work, but again, you just have to communicate every step of the way, because you might be like, "Oh, great, I'm so gung ho, let's do it," and then like a week later, a month later, it could change. You just have to keep checking in with yourself, because this person is not there for you emotionally. They're not your boyfriend. They're not your girlfriend. They're someone that you're having sex with, essentially, and maybe you're having breakfast sometimes if you do the sleepover. Some people don't even do the sleepovers. So those are tips with friends with benefits. If you want to become a Friends with Benefits member with Sex with Emily, all you have to do is pay $4.95 a month, which isn't so bad. So sign up for that. And I think we're good here. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Thanks, Lauren. Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.